The most important measure of any church is how it handles the Word of God. Whether or not they teach and live out divine truth is a key issue, because the church's responsibility before God is to guard, proclaim the truths of Scripture.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings, everyone, and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of Ephesians continues with the conclusion to the message, What is a Worthy Walk? Let's listen in.
So the perfect picture there is a cult that has been now broken, and he's under the control of the one who owns him or his master. Yet inside of that cult, within him, he has still all the power, but he's not using it the same way. See, a lot of people think if you're meek and all that and gentle, people are going to run over me. No, this is not letting people run over you. That's not what it is at all. Study out God's word. The strongest men and women in the Bible were those who were gentle and who were meek. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this about meekness. He says, meekness is not easygoing or niceness. Meekness is not peace at any cost. Meekness is when you stop defending yourself and you realize that nothing can harm you. Oh, listen, if God be for you, you don't really have to care who's against you. Amen? Yes, God is for you. Who can lay a charge to God's elect? No one. No, we're forgiven, loved one. Listen, Moses, in Numbers 12:3, it says that, now the man Moses was very humble. He was very gentle. He was very meek, okay? And it says, not only was he meek, he was very humble, more than all men. Think of this, all men who were on the face of the earth. I encourage you to read Numbers chapter 12 today, and you'll see about how God, when a person is meek, when a person is humble in God's eyes, when they do what's right, that worthy walk, you know what God does? When you're meek and you just keep it, you just, okay, Lord, it's up to you. Listen, he comes and he defends you. You remember Miriam, Moses' sister, Aaron, his brother. They were older than him. And you know the story is they're upset because he had married an Ethiopian woman and so forth. And Miriam, you know, said, you know, I'm sure she was beating him up, you know, his little brother. I pulled you out of the basket, remember, and all that. And said, listen, who are you? God speaks to us too. You're not the only prophet in town. And they were beating up their little brother. Man, and it says God heard it. And God came down in a cloud. And there was Miriam. And God says, you three. Well, you don't mess with God when he does that. You three, come here. The cloud of God came down. And he says, who are you to talk to my servant Moses like that? Who is faithful in all his house? I talk to him face to face. Man, I mean, Moses was meek. He split the Red Sea. He led the Israelites out of Egypt. He was on the mount with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He received the Ten Commandments. He saw the handwriting of God. Meek. No pride. Humble. Man, God loved him so much. Even in the end, God buried him himself on Mount Nebo. He came down and he defended them and he says, you three, you come here. The cloud came down. And when the cloud lifted, you know the story. Miriam, who's getting her brother. She was a leper. And Aaron looked at her and says, oh, you look like a dead person almost. And he cries out to Moses, Moses, we've sinned against you. We've sinned against God. Please don't hold this against us. Please pray. What did Moses do? He could have said, you know what? Uh-uh. Look what you did to me. No, he did what God wanted him to do. He was meek. He was mild. He was humble. And he said, oh, Father, please don't heal my sister. You know the story. And then he says, what, Moses? He says, she spit right in your face. She's going to be locked away. She's going to be sheltering in place, okay, for 7 days outside the camp. Then she can come back in. God, when we obey him, he defends it. That's part of a worthy walk, loved one. And look at the next one, another fruit of the Spirit. It says, with long suffering. Now, that is the third step of a worthy walk, a balanced walk. If you don't have long suffering, you have it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You're not balanced in your walk. You can do it because the Holy Spirit lives in you. So, you know, to be absent of that, again, you're out of balance. Long suffering means to be long tempered. It's the ability to fight road rage on 820 and endure it, okay, without falling apart. But right now, there is no traffic on 820. It has been a joy, and I hate to say this, I hate the pandemic, but it's been a joy to drive in, and I've not had one problem. It's been a wonderful. Yes, so it means that you don't have a short fuse. It just doesn't, the littlest thing doesn't just set you off. The Bible says in James 1:19, it says that we should be slow to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath or the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger, better than the mighty, and he rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Long suffering. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long. It's not quick to take offense, loved one. Long suffering. Look at the next one. And then it says, bearing with one another in love. The Bible, what does it say in Galatians 5:22? The fruit of the Spirit is love. So it's another work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. It says bearing one another in love. That's part of a worthy walk. It means to endure with others with patience. It means make allowance for others. Listen, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. We all have problems in our life. You know, if you have a fault, don't you want to deal with others as gently as you would have them deal with your fault? You see, love thy neighbor as yourself. That's what this is talking about. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love, what does it do? It bears all things. Love believes all things. It's ready to believe the best about people. That's what love does. It says love hopes all things. It doesn't look upon others as hopeless. It doesn't look upon situations as hopeless because we're in the Lord. It says love endures all things. Love never fails. So then, again, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word endeavoring is very important. It means to be eager to maintain. It means to be very diligent. It means to make every effort to keep, and that word means guard, to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have a responsibility, loved one. Listen, the characteristics to protect the unity of the Spirit, that's what those are, has absolutely nothing to do with denominational unity as some people teach. This is not about I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Calvary Chapelite. No, listen, if you think that creates unity, read the history books. It doesn't. No, only the Holy Spirit being in the body of Christ creates that unity, loved one. And that unity is based on the bond of peace. The word bond means to tie something together, which is peace, the peace of God. Now, Phillips' translation says this, we make it our aim to be at one in the Spirit, and then we will be bound together in peace. What a great word. Loved one, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they are in agreement? So that bond of peace, Colossians 3:14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called into one body, and be thankful. So the love of God in us, plus his peace ruling in our hearts, equals our unity together. So like I told the first service about our unity, I told a story about a time years ago. It was in the summer, and I don't know why. You know, we have, like on our front door, we have an ornamental door, like, you know, to keep, it's like a protection, I guess, from Christians. And anyway, then you have your regular door. And the ornamental door has glass on it, so you can open it up, you know, like in the summer and look out and whatnot. But anyway, she opens the door, and the first thing I hear when she opens the door is a terrible scream, which, you know, when your wife screams not at you, you know that's what that is. But when she screams and you're not there, then it means there's something really wrong. And there had a rattlesnake crawled up on the ornamental iron. There was like a little post right when she opened the door, but the glass was there over the iron. That rattlesnake, man, hit that glass with his mouth wide open right toward where her face was, and she just screamed. Well, I knew there was something wrong. Man, I ran, and you know what I did? She screamed. I grabbed the snake. I'm a snake handler now. Never mind, you can't laugh, but I'm pretending that you're laughing. No, and I grabbed that snake. What did Thomas? He's just a little boy. He came around. I had the snake. Becky screamed. He had those, you know, that you cut the hedges with, hedge trimmer. And as I had that snake, he cut off his head. Sometimes it takes a whole family to defeat the Satan. We are the family of God, and we must be in unity, loved one. Yes. You see, we possess a sevenfold unity. A unity that all true believers in Christ, we possess. We have it. Look at it. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. There's not all these different denominations. I'm not faulting any of that at all. All I'm telling you is there's only one body in heaven. There's only one body in earth composed of all of those who have trusted Christ Jesus from the time of the birth of the church at Pentecost until we are raptured out of here. Yes, there's one body in the church. That's us. You can walk worthy of your calling because you are the church. Jesus the head, we are his body. Loved one, listen, the church is the greatest, the highest, the most supreme manifestation of God's wisdom. He created out of the two, Jew, Gentile, one new man. It says in Ephesians 1:22 that God has put all things under Jesus' feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, meaning all true believers, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, and without Jesus, there is no Christianity. Without Jesus in us, there is absolutely no life. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Listen, we draw all of our strength with him. Jesus said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Jesus' life is now our life, and we manifest Christ on this earth because we're filled with his fullness, his plans, his purposes, his power, his giftings. Whatever is Christ is now ours because we are in him. And there's one Spirit. That's the divine helper of the church, the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells the church, who indwells every believer, who sealed us unto the day of redemption, who works in us and leads us and takes us from glory to glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, Ephesians 2:22 tells us that we are now the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, the permanent home. That's who we are. We're the salt of the earth. Listen, how can you walk worthy of your calling if you don't know and believe that you are the salt of the earth, or if you don't believe that you're the light of the world, or if you don't believe that we, the church, are a city that's upon a hill that can never be hidden? Listen, loved one, we are led by the Spirit, we're empowered by the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, and we give praise to God because of that, because we are a supernatural people. We're the church of the living God. We're the church fearless, we're the church unashamed. We are the church forever triumphant. You can walk worthy of your calling by his grace and by his power. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, we have one hope. What is that hope? Every Christian has this hope that is certain and is sure. Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God right now. He is real. He is alive, and he's coming for you. He's coming for me. He's coming for those who are in him. And Jesus said so himself. He said in John 14:1, he says, oh, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God. Oh, hey, believe also in me. He goes and he says, listen, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if it were not true, I would have not told you so. He says, but I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Then I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That's his promise. He could come for us today, man, right now, tomorrow, next week. The Bible says in Titus 2:13 that we are to be looking. We're to be an expected people, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's one Lord, only one Savior. Buddha can't save you. Confucianism can't save you. Mormonism can't save you. Do you hear me? I'm insulting a lot of people right now. I love you. I'm telling you the truth. There's only one Lord, one, no one else. God is Savior alone. And the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And if you will believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, God says, if you mean that, if I will save you, he'll save you right now. There is one Lord. There is no other Savior. Acts 4:12, no other name given under heaven by which man can be saved. Only one, Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Not a life, the life. Not a truth, the truth. No man cometh to the Father. No man make it to heaven. No man ever except through me. There's no other way. Jesus, there's only one Lord. You say, well, I don't believe that. Let me tell you something. One day, the Bible says that those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, every knee will bow. Every person will confess, Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow. Why? There's only one Lord, and his name is Jesus. He died for us. He lives for us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is God's Lamb. He's the Lamb of God, the only sacrifice that God ever ordained. There's not any other. He paid for the sins of the world. And there is one faith. And I pray right now you have it in your hands. You have a real Bible in your hands, or a real iPhone with your Bible on it, or an iPad. I pray you're, listen, you need to open up the Word of God. You need to be following along. If you're not, I love you. I'm not going to patty cake you. Man, listen, we're in desperate times, but we should be in the Word of God, whether good times or bad times. Open up your Bible. I love a Bible. See it? In case you haven't seen pages in a long time, there they are. They're real, loved one. Oh, I love my Bible. I love the Word of God. Listen, so when it says one faith, it means all the content of Holy Scripture, which we call the 66 books of the Bible. Jude 3, he says, listen, he says, I'm exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, meaning the Word of God. He says, which has once and for all been delivered or committed or entrusted to the saints. It says in 1 Peter 6:20, Paul's saying to Timothy, oh, Timothy, he says, guard, what a word, guard what has committed to your trust. Guard the holy Word of God. Guard the Word that God has exalted above his very name. Protect it. He says, oh, Timothy, you do that. Live up to your name. See, Timothy's name means he who honors God. Honor the Word of God. See, we're all stewards over God's Word, loved one. One noted scholar said this, and it's so apt. Listen, he said, the most important yardstick by which a church can be measured, it's not how large it is. It's not how good its fellowship is. It's not how interesting the pastor is. It's not how good the music is, or how well the grounds are kept up, or how respected it is in the community. The most important measure of any church is how it handles the Word of God. Whether or not they teach and live out divine truth is a key issue, because the church's responsibility before God is to guard, proclaim the truths of Scripture. My life verse there on that beach in Florida all those years ago, that hippie walking up to me, hey man, you look like you're looking for the truth. And I was. And I said, what is truth? He says, give me your hand. And he said, pray with me. On that beach in Florida, I received Christ Jesus. And I was never the same. And I have never looked back. My life scripture, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. What did Jesus mean by that? The truth of Scripture. He meant you take the truth of Scripture, your Bible, and you apply it to your life, and it'll set you free. That's why a doctrine is so important. Loved one, there's one baptism. And I know that the Bible speaks of many, or the New Testament, many baptisms, baptism of fire, baptism with the Holy Spirit, John's baptism. No, but this baptism here is one baptism. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, where by one Spirit we are all baptized, immersed, put into one body, the body of Christ. When does that occur? That occurs the moment that you confess with your mouth, you truly believe with your heart, you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you are now placed in the body of Christ. This is the new birth. And here comes one that's so awesome. He says, one God and Father of all. I love that. Father of everyone, all of mankind. No, that's not what this means here. It means Father of all who have trusted Christ Jesus as their Lord, their Savior. So there's one God. There's one Father of all who is, watch this, above all and through all and in you all. Paul turned into a Texan, you all, didn't he? Amen. Oh, listen, he is the Father. Our Father is above all. He is not limited to, he is not subject to anything. Do you understand? He is El Shaddai. That word means he's a self-existent one. He's not dependent upon anyone or anything. If he needs something, he can just say, let it be and it shall be. Do you understand? He is our Father who is above all. And not only that, our Father who is through all, meaning through this entire universe. History is his story. He's guiding our universe, the place that we live, his plans, his purposes. But I love the next one. Our Father is in you all. Man, we have one Father. We are his children. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Oh, praise the Lord. Did you notice the Trinity in this? The Godhead lives in us. Jesus said this, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Here comes, my Father will love him, and we, Jesus says, we will come to the person, that person, and guess what? We'll make our home with him. They live, the three, the Godhead, they live in our hearts right now. Listen, the Bible says in Romans 11:36, for of him, meaning he is the source of everything that there is. For of him and through him meaning the sustainer of the entire everything, the universe, whatever. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory, amen, forever and ever. Now, listen to me. Now you know how to have a balanced walk. You know now how to have a worthy walk that pleases God. Equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear God's word, you do God's word. If you don't do it God's way, you are not balanced. You'll not have a balanced walk, and you're not going anywhere. You're not walking. Oh, listen, we are the family of God. We are one family, a people that only belong to him. Let us walk worthy of our high divine calling. And why don't we do this? Why don't we go, all of us, I want ever the kids, everybody, let's pray as a family right now. Join us across America, wherever you are. Please, I want you to, you know this prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. You've prayed it a million times. You know it by heart. You pray as we bow our heads. Let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Pastor Bill will continue his study in Ephesians on our Monday broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.